Been reading just recently about some of the first Christians in the British Isles. Those first Christians weren't the sort of people to let the grass grow under their feet. They were pilgrims, travellers, missioners. They travelled from Ireland to Iona, Iona to Lindisfarne, Lindisfarne to Bangor, Bangor to France, France to Italy, and who knows where else. It took the monks of Rome and the Synod of Whitby to calm them down and to introduce them to the idea of stability. But I'm wondering, should they have been calmed down? Paul writes to the Romans with an invitation to walk in the newness of life. Now, you might be using the term walk to talk about a way of life, and certainly the Celtic Christians weren't fixated on the need to walk. They knew that you could go on a journey of 1,000 miles, but if your heart wasn't in it, you really went nowhere. In his letter to the Romans, Paul wants people to know that you can't go for a walk without leaving something behind. For your heart to be free to embrace Christ, there's often things you need to let go of. I've got an extraordinary colleague where I am in York who has over 250 members, 4 churches, 2 of them with building schemes and other circuit district responsibilities, and I thought I was busy. And his heart is hurting because he's not involved pastorally as he'd like. And he's asked for help, but it's hard for him to receive help. Because it's not always possible to say yes to something without actually saying no to something else. It's not easy to embrace something without letting go of something familiar. And so Paul writes this: we have been baptized into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we might walk in newness of life. The message of Jesus is about dying so that we may live, leaving behind so that we may walk. Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, there's an account of the Lord's Supper, and it's probably the earliest account that we have, and it's certainly a part of the Bible I would read when I would be leading communion in Elmside and around people's homes here in Hitchin. And it always struck me when reading that passage because of the focus that it gives. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And I've always thought, I'd much rather proclaim the Lord's life. Could I just alter that bit, please? But it's as if Paul is saying, folks, death must come first. Without death first, Paul could not conceive life. What would it be for us to proclaim death, Jesus' death, our own death, in the hope, in the promise of the life that it enabled us to receive? What would that mean for us as individuals, whether in at work or things that we wrestle with in our homes, or the different responsibilities that we may have in different other spheres of life? Is there anything that's holding you back, holding your heart back from walking in newness of life?